Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We come today to the final program dealing with this rehearsal of the law and how it concluded gloriously with the children of Israel declaring that they would keep these commandments and walk in them, and Moses saying to them, "Today you have declared Jehovah to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and listen to his voice. And he will set you high above all the nations which he has made, for praise and for a name and for honor, and that you will be a holy people to Jehovah your God, as he has spoken." Francis Ball has joined us as we have the honor and blessing of touching this final program dealing with the rehearsal of the law. Quite a glorious finish, wasn't it, Francis?
Certainly is. You know, it's quite interesting how this repetition came about, because the law was given by Moses back at Mount Sinai, and then there were those years in the wilderness after the law was given, when the people were going through the wilderness, and a whole generation died there in the wilderness. Now there's a new generation has come up, and they were not there when the law was given. Most all the people have died except Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Now Moses is about to go, and the law has to be repeated and even rehearsed, not enlarged, but some amount of explanation and application is given to the law while it's being repeated. So we're in this stage right now in our program where we're seeing the repetition of that law, and we've been seeing it over several programs now. Now we come to the end of this repetition of the law and bringing the people into a place where they will have to fight the battle in order to possess the land that God has given them.
You know, when you read these chapters in Deuteronomy, there's so many accounts of these very detailed statutes and minor ordinances, as you said, that were added to explain the law and develop it even further. But we haven't been able to touch all of them by any means in our radio programs. We've touched a number of them, but I've been really touched along the way, Francis, as to how each one has really given us another glimpse of the person that gave the law, the person behind the law. And of course, that is Jehovah God. And to us, Christ Jesus, who really lives this kind of life out from within us. It's been something, hasn't it?
That really is a marvelous thing, because the one who gives the law just expressing himself. So we know him by the law that he gave.
And so many of these instances have shown us the fine, righteous, just, fair, and yet loving and caring God that is behind this law. And what a picture it is, even for the kind of life that should be lived out among God's people today. Well, most recently, we've been talking about God's people being formed into an army and the fighting aspect. And now today we come to another related matter, and that is that this army was to be kept in a camp. And the details regarding the camp are even quite revealing, as I think we'll see today. Let's look at a couple of these verses before we join Witness Lee for our first portion of his fellowship today. In chapter 23, it says, "When you as a camp go forth against your enemies, you shall keep yourself from every evil thing. For Jehovah your God walks in the midst of your camp to rescue you and deliver up your enemies before you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, and he must not see any indecent thing among you, lest he turns back from going after you." Actually, Francis, if we read all of these verses, it gets quite graphic and detailed, the degree to which Jehovah was commanding that the camp be kept clean, doesn't it?
God is holy, and he's coming with his people. He must have a clean place to come, and that's really what he's dealing with here, I believe.
Let's go to Witness Lee.
"When the children of Israel, as a camp, went forth against their enemies, they were to keep themselves from every evil thing." In the camp of God, all these dirty things should be cleared up. It is a camp, but it is a place that God would be there. And this means the church as God's fighting camp must be clear and must be clean. There was not to be a prostitute among the daughters of Israel, nor was there to be a homosexual among the sons of Israel. Both of them were an abomination to Jehovah. God's thought is very human. He liked to see man be produced. He liked to see the male and female come together to produce. This was the reason that God felt happy about marriage. Do you like to see marriage? Yes. For what purpose? For man's existence, for man's reproduction. So we must honor marriage, and we must not damage marriage. This is why God hates any kind of damage to marriage anyway. This is why God encouraged us to get married. Right away after God created man, God did say, you have to fill up the earth. In other words, it's to replenish the entire earth, to cover the whole earth with mankind. God likes this. This was the reason God liked to see the young people to get together, married. But today, they are getting together. It's not for man's existence, neither for man's reproduction, just for something else. That is hateful in the eyes of God. Even young people coming together without any marriage, yeah, they live together. What is that? That is a sin. That is abominable. You have to get married properly, according to God's purpose and for God's purpose. And you have to know, God is also more happy to see one after another child produced by you. This refers to church life. So we all have to be reproductive. If we are barren, that's a shame to God. God be happy to see that we are in a situation to produce, to bear fruit, to be fruitful, not to be fruitless. Not to be barren. God's his barrenness.
Francis, this relationship, this aspect that he touched in this portion has, on the positive side, everything to do with being fruitful and replenishing, producing. And this is something that satisfies God very, very much. But he also took the occasion, Witness Lee, when he was sharing this, to speak a fatherly word, correcting word, a sober word. And I maybe ask you if you have the same feeling and burden that you would say something touching either or both of these points.
Chris, I was quite impressed with the way he brought this out, because now you look at the children of Israel in this light. Here they are now a new generation, and they're entering into the good land where they're having to fight their way through to possess this land and to work on it and to produce something from it. And to bring in this matter of marriage in this way was quite instructive to me, that God wants a good situation, a good high standard situation. The Bible uses the word cult prostitute.
Yeah.
Should not be among the people. And that touched me very much, because when I was considering this word cult prostitute, of course, prostitution is very ugly and very dirty in the eyes of God, very sinful. But to use that word cult prostitute made me realize a cult is really to turn people away from the true God and to worship something else, or to enjoy something else besides God himself. So this is the thing that's so dirty in God's eyes, that there should be a thing among God's people like this was really a dishonor to him, and made it impossible for him as a holy God to be among his people and to fight the battles for them and to take care of them. So here they are now, they're camping, and their camp needs to be kept clean. And cleanliness here, it is true that this cleanliness has a lot to do with the physical situation, their physical body. And it's quite graphic how he points this out in this camping, that it must be kept clean. That means spiritually speaking, it means nothing evil. But morally speaking, it means nothing immoral.
Right.
And nothing dirty should be in our camp. I was reminded by this being in the Navy for about 4 years to realize how much cleanliness is emphasized in camps. There's all kinds of provisions made to keep everything clean. Even when I was on an island in the South Pacific, we had a good shower situation.
Mm.
Sometimes it was only a big water bag hung off of a tree, but it was made so that you could keep clean. And this is very important in God's view, too. And here we're not only talking about physical, but we're talking about the spiritual cleanliness and the moral cleanliness. God is speaking very much in human terms here.
Yeah, and it is graphic, but on the spiritual side and the effect on the condition of the people that was at risk if these things like prostitution and homosexuality were allowed to exist in the camp of God's people. And certainly this is easy to see an application of today.
Mm.
And the corruption that has really overtaken our society and large portions of it, but especially the church would be preserved from this kind of thing. Well, Francis, that really concludes, in a sense, his speaking on these statutes and judgments, Moses speaking, that is, in these chapters. I want to jump now to chapter 26, which brings us into kind of the glorious conclusion that the people of Israel enjoyed with Moses and with Jehovah on this day. This day, Jehovah your God is commanding you to do these statutes and these judgments. Therefore, you shall keep them and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have declared Jehovah to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and listen to his voice. And today Jehovah has declared you to be a people for his personal treasure. Wonderful, intimate connection here between God and his people by these verses is seen, isn't it?
It certainly is. To think that God has taken us as his peculiar treasure.
Yes.
This is really a sweet relationship that we have with a holy God.
Hmm.
And it's really marvelous how he's bringing us into this kind of living so that we have our relationship with so many different situations. We're now under the light with what he's spoken all this time. He's shined all the light into his people. Now he's saying that if they will honor him and be faithful and they will keep it in the statutes that he's given, then he will be with them. And he will deliver them from all their enemies, and they'll be victorious. And the nation that in some places is called the tail will become the head, will be honored.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for a little bit more fellowship on this point.
Now we come to the end of the rehearsal of the commandment, the concluding word of this section to the children of Israel, when Moses finished the rehearsal of the law. On that day, Jehovah their God was commanding them to do these statutes and judgments. Moses used 13 chapters to cover the rehearsal of the law. They were to keep them and do them with all their heart and with all their soul. On that day, on the day when Moses finished this rehearsal of the law, the children of Israel had declared Jehovah to be their God, and that they would walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his judgment and listen to his voice. This was a vow. On that day, the children of Israel have to declare such a vow to Jehovah. Then on that day, on the same day, Jehovah had declared them to be a people for his personal treasure. They declared to God. Now God declared to them that God would take them as his people for his personal treasure, even as he promised them, and that they would keep all his commandments. There is a condition for God to keep them as his personal treasure, and this condition is that they have to keep all his commandments. If not, they become a kind of a displeasure to him, and that he would set them high above all the nations. All the nations will praise them for a name and for honor and that they would be a holy people to Jehovah their God, as he had spoken. These are the words of a conclusion to this section of 13 chapters.
Francis, I think we touched many of the things he talked about, even as we were preparing to listen to his fellowship. But I was touched by one point near the end here. His promise to them that if they would keep this condition that is preserved by all of these details that we've seen, his desire was to lift them up as a people. This really shows God has something quite high in mind for his people. It's his heart's desire if we allow him to gain what he desires, doesn't he?
You know, it seems like even with Israel, as it is with us today, it's not a matter of what we can do and how faithful we can be, but it's a matter of how we respond and how we're willing to cooperate with God. He's the God of promise. He's the God of hope. He's the God that can provide everything and will really make us victorious, but he just needs our cooperation. He doesn't need our doing and our effort. He needs our cooperation. So I feel like this is really very much like what we see in the New Testament, that if we would just pray according to God's prayer, according to the prayer that Christ is praying, we would echo what he's wanting to do on the earth. The Lord can do everything he wants to do if we just open to him, give him that opportunity.
That's a very appropriate way to come to the conclusion of this portion. What we're seeing, and it's not too much to remind ourselves and the listeners again, Francis, as you just pointed out, we're not seeing a standard set before us for us to achieve and to strive to, because all of these fine detailed points are just beyond our human reach. But these are really the attributes of the divine life that God would have lived out in his people. And if we trust in him and trust in that life operating within us, then it's a whole other matter altogether, isn't it? Rather than trying to strive after such a high, lofty, ethical, and moral standard that we've seen.
Yes, it certainly is high, but only God can accomplish it.
Well, we've got one portion left in this section of Deuteronomy. Let's go to Witness Lee for that now. And it's a kind of a summary and really encapsulates all of these high points into a few main basic principles that we can extract from this long section on the rehearsal of the law. Here's Witness Lee once more.
The governing principles of our behavior implied in this section of 13 chapters are, number one, to our God, we have to be sanctified and fearing. We fear God, and we like to be separated, sanctified unto him as a holy people. Number two, to ourselves, to be righteous and pure, to be strict, very strict, no looseness. We have to be just, we have to be righteous, and we have to be pure. Number three, to our others, to be kind and generous, always kind, to give. Don't be so strict. Be strict toward yourself, but not to others. And number four, toward animals, to be sparing. If to spare the little bird, if to spare the ox, which works for you, to be sparing and sympathetic. If you could sympathize with the animals, surely you would and could sympathize with people. Five, toward the devil, Satan, to be rejecting and separated. Rejecting him and separate yourself from him. These are the five principles according to such a long section concerning God's law. These are the five principles that should govern our behavior. Five directions toward God, toward yourself, toward others, toward the animals, and toward the devil, the enemy, Satan. In this book, you could see one thing that is very particular. That is concerning how God is, or what God is. No other book is so much on this point. The God manifested in this book is fine, is tender, is considerate, as sympathetic. In this book, God is not only loving, merciful, gracious, and so forth. He's fine. He's very fine, very tender, and very considerate, and very sympathetic. This is our God. He is not only great, mighty, but He is so fine, so tender, so considerate.
Well, as is usually the case, Francis, we could have just remained silent and just let him say it, because I can't think of a better summary for this whole long section than these five principles that God has laid down to govern how we should be towards these five different entities. Really something, isn't it?
It really is, and it shows us what kind of God He is. You know, so much people are so occupied with the God of love and forgiveness, but this also shows us that God is righteous, holy, and requiring, but He's not requiring anything that we can do. He's requiring only an opportunity to do what He wants to do for us.
Wow.
So in our relationship and all these principles that He laid out, we have a clear view here that it takes a person that's really born of God, that has God's life and has a heart for God, that can be sanctified and fearful of God in the proper way, and could also be righteous and pure regarding himself, really touching his own need, realize that we're not righteous, we're not pure, so we need another life. And I think this is what this all these principles show us in our relationship with others, even with, as he brought out, with even with animals.
Right, that was
it
telling.
Really shows what kind of person we are and what kind of person God is. I could easily kick the dog if he didn't just do what I want him to do. But the Lord's attitude toward animals is to be sparing and to be sympathetic and not mistreat them. And then, of course, toward Satan, we're too ready to give Satan the ground and excuse ourselves. But here we have to be separated. We have to reject everything that's evil. And Satan is the evil influence on the whole earth. To be rejecting toward him and to be separate from him is a safe principle for us to go by. So we have all these things laid out before us in a very conclusive way here, shows us that God has revealed himself in his law, so we know what kind of God he is.
I think it was yesterday's program or the one before, and Witness Lee was talking about how he loves this book of Deuteronomy because you see details that open up this fineness and the tenderness and the compassion of God far more than you can from any of the New Testament books. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.